Good morning, Honey Ridge family, and anyone else joining us for our daily devotions. 120 days of lockdown. Man, I'd take a friendly bet and guess that none of us saw this coming. None of us thought that when the government announced that radical two-week lockdown back in March, that this is where we'd be. No one expected that we'd be this far removed from friends and family, fellowship and ministry, and even milkshakes at Rockamamas and hot chocolate after church. And it struck me while I was preparing that as a church, we've completely skipped winter. We left when it was cooling down, and now as it slowly begins to warm back up again, we're still not seeing the end of this road. Or have you noticed that besides COVID, the world seems to be in utter turmoil right now? Around the world, we hear rumors of war, stories of famine ravaging the African continent, and warnings of a new recession, schools potentially closing down, jobs being lost, and family members who have passed away. It really does seem like hopeless times that we're living in. Now, someone who understood hopeless times very well was David. And we will be looking at Psalm 3, which was written by David while on the run from his own son, which is written about in 2 Samuel chapter 15. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, David's own son, Absalom, decides that he's had enough of his father's rule and that he wants to be king. Like a modern-day supervillain, before he acts, he hatches a plan. First, he sows seeds of lies amongst David's people. He stands at the city gates where people came to see the king, and Absalom would tell them that they were valuable to him. He cared for them, but unfortunately the king had no time for them. Secondly, he would often moan to the people that perhaps if someone would just anoint him judge in Israel, then at least the people would be cared for as they deserve. And this went on for 4 years. And one day, when things were just right after all his scheming, Absalom managed to convince enough people to take David out so that he could become king. And in verse 13, David's own informant tells us that the hearts of the men of Israel were with Absalom. So once again, David finds himself on the run from yet another person trying to kill him. He flees with his family and his close allies out into the hills, and it's there that he writes the words of Psalm 3. So let's read it together. Lord, how my foes increase. There are many who attack me. Many say about me, there is no help for him in God. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of thousands of people who have taken their stand against me on every side. Rise up, Lord. Save me, my God. You strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people. Now, there's a popular movement today called New Thought, which has been marketed by a group of people claiming to be Christians, at least. But Oprah even has her own version, which is called The Secret. And it's all about positive confessions and positive thinking. If you think positive things, you manifest them. If you think negative things, you manifest those too. So it's all about mindset and not reality. Now, we might say that we don't subscribe to this way of thinking, but in practice, many of us approach difficult times in this way. When we're met with challenges, we flip-flop between the nothing will ever make this better, so I might as well give up. Or, if I'm positive and focus on the good things, then this will automatically change. Now, those ways of thinking are quite foreign to the Bible, but thankfully David shows us how we ought to think about facing troubled times in this short psalm. In verse 1 to 2, David acknowledges the reality of the troubled time that he's in and the very real concern that it brings. Imagine if David tried to practice positive thinking in this situation. The rest of this chapter and the rest of this book would have been about how David died in the hands of his own son. Instead, he sees such a helpless situation that even people say that there is no help for him in God as something that he must bring before God. See, whatever situation we find ourselves in, whether it's one of the ones I mentioned earlier or anything else under the sun, the very first thing we must do is to see it rightly. When we downplay the brokenness and the evil in the world, we don't do anyone any favors. The whole reason why there's brokenness in the world is because of sin and its effects on everything in creation. To downplay the brokenness as nothing major makes creation that God called good and the promised restoration of all things seem quite unimportant. But it's right to say that life can be difficult. It's right to say that suffering is awful and that there is brokenness and evil in the world. So am I saying that we must sit back and be negative about things? No, not at all. But David does help us again in verse 3, where he contrasts his situation, the very real problem, with a very real confidence he has in God. It is God who is his shield. It is God who lifts up his head. And unlike Adam and Eve, after they sinned and tried to make clothes to cover themselves and fix their own situation, David understands that his situation is in the hands of God. Only God is in control. So what does this confidence look like practically for David? Does his confidence mean that he goes back and speaks positive words to Absalom? Should we be rebuking COVID-19 with positive confession to show how we have confidence in God? Well, no, not at all. David's confidence is in God's character. Firstly, that God hears our prayers. In verse 4, it says that David cries out to the Lord and that the Lord answers him. Joseph Scriven, in his song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, writes the following on prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. This is something which requires an act of effort. And it takes time to train our hearts. But this is something which we must all strive for. In these moments of pain and suffering and trouble, these real times in our lives, we should take everything to God in prayer. If you're not sure what to say or perhaps the tears make it impossible to even speak, remember that Jesus, your Savior, sits at the Father's right hand, interceding for you at this very time, and that the Holy Spirit prays for you with groanings too deep for words. Every part of God's heart is for you. Go to Him in prayer. Secondly, David's hope is not in his own ability to solve his problems. Rather, we see in verse 5 that God sustains. When he lies down and when he wakes again, it is God who sustains him. Now, many of us during this time sit awake at night for different reasons. Perhaps it's financial concerns. Maybe you're anxious about your matric prelims coming up, or it could even be that your marriage is in a difficult season. Whatever that reason is, when we try to rely on ourselves to sustain everything, we eventually fall apart because we don't make very good saviors. See, but David sees this and acknowledges that it really is God who sustains him every day. And so his confidence is in God and not himself. And lastly, despite his situation, in verse 6 we see that David knows that it is God who protects. He can say this not because the trouble isn't real, but because his confidence is in the power and ability of God to overcome any plans of the evil one. Look at a moment for the situation that David is describing. Thousands of people on every side. These are incredible circumstances. I think most of us, myself included, would run with our tails between our legs. But instead, David's confidence is not in himself. This great warrior doesn't trust in his own ability, but in the Lord. And it's because he knows that God is good and because God is able to intervene. So he doesn't have any reason to fear the outcome of the trouble that he's in. Now, I know I don't have it in me to say those words during times of trial and difficulty, and I don't always get that right, but aren't these true words? If God is for us, what do we fear? We should not fear the one who can attack and harm us in our flesh, but rather we should fear and have reverence for God who is able to care for our souls. So in all these things, David's final words in verse 7 to 8 show us what real confidence looks like. It leads David to pray to God. It leads David to trust God to do what is right. And it leads David to ask God to intervene in the situation. He is the one who hears. He is the one who sustains. And he is the one who protects. And as he says in verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. So how will this psalm change your view of the year ahead, of your day tomorrow, of the weekend? Will the ever-changing world around you break you and rob you of your joy in God? Or will we, in times of genuine trouble, be able to say with confidence that God is good and that we trust him, and that by his grace we will live like those who trust him.